In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have you ever gotten into one of those series of questions with someone that seems like a riddle? I call them "and what if" questions. Kids are good at asking them. They get an idea in their head, maybe about something bad that could happen. You try and answer their question and address their fear, but that simply leads to them saying, "and what if this happens?" You answer that, and again they say, "and what if this happens?" On and on it can go, seeming to have no true answer. Maybe you have gotten yourself tied up in one of these riddles, asking yourself a question in your head, maybe about something you are worried about or anxious about. You think you have it answered, and then you hear that voice in your head say, "sure, great, and what if this happens?" We see this in our gospel today with the Sadducees trying to trip Jesus up in a series of "and what if" questions to ensnare him in a riddle. They are coming to him with questions about a specific custom of their time. The custom had them concerned with the question of what happens if a married man dies without an heir. By tradition, a brother takes the widow into his household so that an heir might be produced, and so that this widow has a child. All of this is done so that she will not be alone. His name will be remembered. The life of the father will continue through the child. But there's nothing but death in the Sadducees' "and what if" questions and riddle. Brother after brother passes away without producing an heir. Time and time again, the widow does not bear a child. Finally, she dies too. Who will remember her? Who will carry on the name and the traditions of the family? They're not done with this riddle yet. The Sadducees seem to say, "and if you believe in the resurrection, all is not lost. If there is life after death, then perhaps she will not be alone after all. She has been the wife of seven men. Which will be her husband in the resurrection? To whom will she belong?" Jesus gives a startling answer. Not only does Jesus promise that there is a resurrection, but he changes all the terms in the Sadducees' riddle. Not only is life in the age to come in the resurrection not just some everlasting version of the life of this age, but if this woman is getting into heaven, it's because she is a child of God, not because she's a wife or a widow or a mother. It won't be because she was barren or fertile, married or widowed, or forgotten or remembered on earth. It's because she is, as Jesus says, considered worthy of a place in that age. And like everyone else who enters the resurrection, cannot die anymore because they are like angels and are children of God, being children of the resurrection. Jesus says that in the resurrection, life will be different. He is telling us that there are things like marriage and customs around marriage and family life that are of this age. In the age to come, in the resurrection, your concerns about things like living on through others, like leaving behind someone to remember you, like dealing with the hardship of wanting something really badly or being told you should have something you can't, won't be important. What will matter is being children of God, is being given a place in God's kingdom. Now, we need to remember, Jesus wasn't against marriage or children. He attended weddings and cautioned against divorce. He welcomed children into his community and blessed them. Jesus is hinting to us that in the resurrection, making sure there are children to pass along the family story, the family name, even to make sure the community continues, won't be necessary. Marriage is for this age. It can be life-giving in this age. It can be holy for this age. But it can't get you into heaven. And neither can having children or not having them, being remembered by name or not. If you're married like I am, if you have children like I do, a lot of this might be worrisome to hear. We are married to someone we love because we envision spending the rest of our lives with them. We've had children because we responded to the deep desire to bring life into this world. How can the blessings of this life seem to be so easily shed? When trying to figure this all out, I think we need the words Paul wrote in his letter to the Corinthians by our side. For we know only in part, and we prophesize only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now, we see in a mirror, dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. The wonder, the mystery, the complete knowledge of God and what God has in store for all of us in the next life is beyond our comprehension. We see through that mirror dimly. But maybe we can glimpse some of that future and glory that awaits us. Maybe we can glean something by asking some and what if questions of our own. What if when God says to us, those who are cast down are being raised up, God actually means it? What if when we feel as if we have been tossed aside, forgotten, or abandoned by the world, what if God is the one and only person seeking us out, lifting us up out of our despair? Maybe that is a glimpse through the dark mirror of the age to come, a time when all people are lifted up by God. And what if when God says that which has grown old is being fashioned anew, God means it? Maybe that is a glimpse through the dark mirror to a place when life and death are transformed, when creation is freed from the illusion of death, and instead we live in God's eternal presence, renewed and refreshed from his wellspring. And what if when Jesus says, I will be known to you in the breaking of bread, he means it? Maybe every Sunday, gathered around this altar together, we all see a little clearer through the dim mirror together, discovering that if Jesus can take ordinary bread and wine and transform them and make them into something precious and holy, then just imagine what Jesus can do with us, what Jesus can do with our lives of faith and discipleship. And what if when Jesus tells us that the life we will be raised up into will be so unlike anything we can possibly begin to fathom, he means it? That I will be brought into a far deeper relationship with the ones I love than I can ever have in this life, knowing them and being known by them in ways that cannot even be adequately expressed in words. And what if that is how we will all come to know one another? All of us raised up, all of us made new, all of us made known to one another around the eternal altar and banquet God has prepared for us since the foundation of the world. What if what awaits us in the age to come isn't a riddle, but instead is the ever-flowing river that brings us closer to grace upon grace upon grace, ever closer to our God and Savior. Amen.